Well, I titled today's message is not about the season, but all about the reason. I'll be coming out of Hebrews chapter 10 today, but I have various other scriptures that I will also be using if the Lord wills. So what comes to mind when many Americans think about Christmas? For some, it's a time off work, off school, and for others, it's vacation time. Spend time with family, friends, right? And maybe, just maybe, get some R&R, rest and relaxation. But many, many Americans are consumed with commercialism and spend countless hours looking for that perfect gift for their loved one. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with buying gifts for your perfect loved one. I'm not saying that. But I believe many of us are caught up sometimes with the whole commercialism side of things. And there's also Christmas parties, right? But many of them leave out the center of attraction, Jesus. For some, it's just another day. But was Christ's birth just another day? Not at all. I must admit that COVID-19 may have put a damper on a holiday this year, per se, but it has not affected the holy day of the birth of Christ over 2,000 years ago. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his seamless word. One complete love story. And I also thank Pastor Jeremy last week for sharing the message that he shared about how God is so faithful in spite of all the depravity and darkness. He shared from the Old Testament all the way up through the New Testament. And I appreciate you, Pastor Jeremy, for sharing that. He titled the message, Desperate for Dawn. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that message, and those who are listening through internet, get a chance to listen to that message. Go to last week's message and check it out, because I believe this one will tie in to what we're talking about. I am privileged today to share the reason why Christ came. Have you ever thought about Christmas as being a rescue mission? A rescue mission. I'm going to read to you a true war story. It's about the raid at Kavanatuan. In January 1945, the U.S. Army carried out one of the most daring and most successful rescue missions, not just in World War II, but in the whole history of human warfare. This liberation of the prisoners held in a Japanese camp just outside of the city of Kavanatuan became known as the Great Raid. Indeed, this episode of history had it all: cunning, courage, audacity, but most of all, a happy ending. The rescue mission grew out of the Battle of Bataan, a huge military defeat for the Americans and their allies. Here, the Imperial Japanese Army took tens of thousands of prisoners. They made them march huge distances in unbearable conditions in what became known as the Bataan Death March. Then the prisoners were finally locked up in a Kavanatuan camp. And while many were soon transferred elsewhere, by the beginning of 1945, around 500 men were still being held here in unspeakable conditions. As well as disease and starvation, The prisoners also had to deal with the cruelty of their captors and the constant threat of execution. With General Douglas MacArthur and the U.S. Army advancing, many of the prisoners thought their time was up. The American High Command was determined to get the men out, however difficult that might be. The Sixth Army was tasked with drawing up a rescue plan. They recognized the vital role Filipino guerrillas could play in any assault, since they knew the layout of the land. Around 100 rangers and scouts and 200 guerrillas were assigned to the mission. On January 30th, they were given the green light. Having trekked almost 50 kilometers to get into position, the men waited for darkness to fall. A special P-61 Black Widow night fighter plane flew overhead and distracted the guards. Then all at once, they attacked. The Japanese were therefore caught completely by surprise when the Americans and Filipinos breached the camp perimeters. An estimated 500 Japanese soldiers were killed in a brief but intense firefight. Just 4 Americans died. All but 2 of the prisoners were safely escorted back across American lines to safety. The raid at Kavanatuan wasn't just a huge military victory, but the rescue men were willing and able to tell the story of the Bataan Death March. The men involved in the rescue mission were commended for their actions by none other than President Roosevelt. And from their bravery that night has come numerous of books and movies. What a heroic story. What a heroic story. Furthermore, I believe there is one who orchestrated the greatest rescue mission in the whole history of warfare known to mankind. Amen. God the Father. And there is one who voluntarily offered to place his life on the line, not for his allies, but for his enemies, that we may be set free. And whom might that be? Jesus, God the Son. Last but certainly not least, there is one who gave the power to execute this plan perfectly, God, the Holy Spirit. Now let's turn our attention to God's word in Hebrews chapter 10. If you're already there, that's good. If not, I'll give you a little time to get there. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me take a sip. Oh, don't worry about that. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the actual form of those realities, it can never perfect the worshipers by the same sacrifices they continually offer year after year. Otherwise, wouldn't they have stopped being offered, since the worshipers once purified would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in the sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, as he was coming into the world, he said, "You did not want sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, 'See, it is written about me in the volume of the scroll. I have come to do your will, God.'" After he says above, "You did not want or delight in sacrifices and offerings, whole burnt offerings and sin offerings, which are offered according to the law," he then says, "See, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Praise the Lord. So Jesus' entire life displays a rescue mission. This was God's plan before the foundation of the world. This rescue mission began to manifest at, let's just say, Christmas, right? But decades later, a dark event had taken place. It looked like the story had ended. And just like many prisoners that were held in a Japanese camp thought their time was up, there were many followers of Jesus, right, that felt a similar experience at his death, a loss of hope. But however, this was the reason that Jesus came to earth, right? Have you ever considered that one of the humblest things God ever done was to become a man? And his lifestyle was conducive to this life of humility and love, right? Just amazing. This mission that the Son of God signed up for was not a life of comfort. In Jesus, God was born a child placed in a manger, a far cry from Herod's palace, right? Which would be thought to be more fitting, a more fitting place for the birth of a king. As an adult, he lived with nowhere to lay his head. And he died with few earthly possessions. Through it all, Jesus displayed his love for the Father and his love for man. Don't ever forget that. In addition to this, I believe we can also see the humility and love of Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. I can also say I like to hear those pages turning also. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace he might taste death for everyone, crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering and death. Did you see that? Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. That's humility. That he might taste death for how many people? Every man, everyone. That's love, right? Hallelujah. Amen. This should be ample reason for everyone to repeat after me. It's not about the season, but all about the reason. We could do that one more time. It might sound a little bit better. It's not about the season, but all about the reason. So Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Jesus tasted death for everyone, but everyone has or will not benefit. Who will benefit? Who did Jesus come to rescue? Let's see. Matthew recorded what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon is probably the most famous sermon Jesus ever gave, and how Jesus speaks concerning the poor is quite interesting to me. I believe some months back, Pastor Jeremy hit on these beatitudes, some of these things here. But Matthew 5, verse 3. If you want to, you could turn there. Matthew 5, verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a reason the kingdom belongs to them. Not because they are poverty stricken, right? It's not that reason. Their income was irrelevant to Jesus. It was. Did you hear me? Their income was irrelevant to Jesus. Because what? Money can't purchase you a place in heaven. Amen. The kingdom belongs to them because they knew that they were spiritually dead and morally broken without Jesus. We all are. We all are. But we all, and those listening on the internet, we all must admit it. Does anyone remember the tax collector in Jesus' parable? He was hardly a destitute man. Beating his breast, pleading, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This man proclaiming his spiritual poverty goes away what? Justified. While the Pharisee, or this religious leader, whose spiritual arrogance or his pride clouds his genuine spiritual need, which places him in a complete opposite position of the other guy, right? Which is condemned. Jesus does care about the poor. Hear me out. And he also cares about the rich and the powerful. But that's not my point. Jesus will save or rescue anyone who realizes that they are spiritually dead and morally broken. In short, a sinner in need of him. Make it just that simple. Christmas is a display of God's love toward us, right? Probably one of the most quoted verses, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he what? Come on, that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Although we were all born sinners, enemies of God, Jesus still came from heaven to this hostile world, breaching enemy lines to rescue us. These are some facts that we all must believe and act upon, because our eternal destiny depends on it. Our eternal destiny, right, depends on it. I hope that some are being reminded and others are realizing a bit more now that it's not about the season, but all about the reason. I believe keeping in mind the reason Jesus came to earth will help us stay focused on the gospel and should prompt us to share this good news or this joy that came to the world, right? Come on. Please help me out here. Now, let's narrow our focus on my main passage. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. We go relook at something here, but we go narrow the focus down. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. As you're turning there, I'm going to share this about Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. This brings us to some of the most important verses that communicates the Christmas story. I believe so. Some of the most, I didn't say the most, I said some of the most important verses that communicates the Christmas story. Hear me out. Hear me out. That is why, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God. As is written about me in the scriptures. Note the opening words of this passage as I read out of the New Living Translation. It said, when Christ came into the world. I'll say that again. When Christ came into the world. That sounds like Christmas to me. When Christ came into the world. In essence, on that first Christmas day, in some incredible way, the eternal Son of God in a fragile baby's body said to his Father, here I am. I will do as you have asked. I accept the body you have prepared for me. The body that will bleed out in perfect, the perfect sacrifice and the only satisfaction of payment for sin. Thank you, Lord. So, this is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Now, I just had to throw that in there. But this is what Christmas is all about. It was a rescue mission. It was. Jesus came to surrender his sinless human self to be the only unblemished offering to perfectly and completely save sinners. That's Christmas. And this we do find in the Gospels. In Matthew 1:21, God tells Joseph that Mary will do what? Give birth to a son. And you will give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. Right? In Luke 2:11, there were shepherds in the field that first Christmas. And the angel tells the shepherds, today, right, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I thought that was quite interesting. That one verse had three titles about who the Lord is right here. Savior, he come to save his people from their sins, right? Messiah, he fulfilled the law and the prophets. Every single iota. And Lord, he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, ruler of all. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In John 1:29, John the Baptist points at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, behold, right? The Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. Each of these events echoes our unsung Christmas verse. Each of them. A body. You have prepared for me. So Hebrews 10 tells us the precise reason the Son came to earth. To submit himself to something unspeakably violent and brutal. And who did he do it for? For us. Let's look at what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18. In 1 Peter 3:18. First Peter 3:18. All right. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God, after being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. I hope we caught something in that verse there. that he might bring you to God. That sounds like a rescue mission to me. That he might bring you to God. Jesus also speaks clearly about these things, about his very self on this point. In Matthew 20 and 28, we can turn there. Matthew 20, verse 28. Mine starts off here. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, right? But to serve. And to do what? Give his life as a ransom for many. A ransom means to deliver or redeem from the punishment of sin. This verse tells us that Jesus redeems or purchases many. My question to everyone, have you been purchased? And how does Jesus pay? How does Jesus pay? With his life. Jesus came to earth to save sinners. The statement is so common to our ears, right? That it's easy, I believe, to miss its significance. Save means to rescue from danger. The Savior came to rescue us because we were all in imminent danger. What? Danger. Who was Jesus rescuing us from? That's a question that many people have. God, the righteous judge. We got to go look at something here. Let's look at the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 7. Verses 11 through 13 on the notes. I don't know if I had that one up there or not, but I'm going to go verses 11 through 13. Quite interesting to me. Some may say, oh, this is Old Testament. I believe this is applicable to everyone today. After we read these verses, I believe you will say that also. So once again, who was he delivering us from? Rescuing us from? God, the righteous judge, right? Okay, verses 11. God is a righteous judge and a God who shows his wrath every day. If anyone does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He has strung his bow and made it ready. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He tips his arrows with fire. That was one that I kind of rough reading here. Really, it was. Yeah. So God is the righteous judge who is offended. He is the one who is owed. He is the sovereign Lord that we have rebelled against. The Father we have disobeyed. The friend that we have betrayed. This is a dangerous way to live. And even more so, a disastrous way to die in this state. Because to die in this way means that you actually were living without the fear of God. That's what that means. You lived without the fear of God. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's what the word says. I ain't making that up. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But furthermore, in Hebrews 10:31, it says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yeah. Terrifying. I know. I know. That's bad news, right? Bad news. That's why we need the good news. Let's pick this up, right? That's why we need the good news. And the good news is very good. Although the world may believe that the raid at Kavanatuan was the most successful rescue mission in the whole history of warfare, no disrespect, but I beg to differ. This mission was to save allies. As I said previously, God has planned the all-time greatest rescue mission before the foundation of the world, because he came to rescue his creation, who all are natural-born enemies of God, our creator. It's true. All mankind are born POWs, prisoners of war. Prisoners of war to what? The flesh, the world, and the devil. But can somebody say, but Jesus? But Jesus came to earth in a prepared body to offer it up as the only payment that would bring satisfaction once again to the Father. What a wonderful gift, an indescribable gift. Mission complete. Mm-hmm. There are two key things that made the rescue mission a success. First, Jesus lived the perfect life. We rebelled, he submitted. We disobeyed, he obeyed. We lived for self, he lived for the Father. He had no hint of sin. He remained free, uncontaminated, uncompromised, right? Jesus never, ever failed, obeying his Father even until the point of death, death on a cross. Matter of fact, if we could go back and remember, that was a criminal's death, right? Jesus was not a criminal. Perfect in all his ways. This no one has ever done. There is no one like Jesus. Amen. We should know that here, right? Amen. Second, Jesus made a trade on the cross. He took his perfect life and he traded it for our imperfect lives. He took our sin, the judgment and punishment that go along with it, and gives us what? His righteousness. He takes our place so that we can be made right with God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Didn't know if I was going to go there or not. Let's just go there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Second Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I just wanted some scripture there so you can back that up with scripture, right? Amen. All right. So what a trade. What a trade. The trade took place on Calvary, right? On a cross. Wow. Thank you, Lord. This was the reason that Jesus was born. He came to offer up his body to die, right? Offered it up so that we may live. This is the real reason for the season. He came, Jesus the Christ, came to rescue us. Christmas is not about us, but truly about what God has done for us. Jesus is the reason for every season. So let me personalize this a bit. If you believe this and have not totally surrendered your will to God, then you can today. I implore you to have faith in God. Believe in the finished work of Jesus' death and resurrection. He rose again on the third day, right? Surrender your will to follow Jesus. I'll say that again. Surrender your will to follow Jesus. We all was born in sin, right? All about ourselves. Please surrender your will to follow Jesus. It's the best thing that you could ever do in this world. Then God, the Holy Spirit, will empower you to share this good news. This good news about that first Christmas day. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why Jesus Christ was born? So I say that again. Go tell it on a mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Why Jesus Christ was born? And that was what? To rescue us. To rescue us. I believe if Christians thought more about Christmas from this gospel-centered viewpoint, then we would have a greater impact for Christ at home, work, school, vacation, or wherever our feet may tread. Remember our war story earlier, the war story? The rescued men were not only able, but willing to tell the story of the Bataan Death March. Even more so for those of us that have been rescued from the wrath of God. Amen. Does this resonate with anyone? Does this resonate with anyone? Coming to a close. In essence, Scripture tells us that God loves us, right? We are sinners. We are dead in sin. But we can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Since Jesus came to rescue us, please do not neglect such a great salvation. Let us pray. Jesus, is anyone ready to surrender all and place their faith in God and his rescue mission? Do you believe that Jesus came to save you? If so, I invite you to pray with me. It's not the prayer. Hear me, please. It's not the prayer that saves you. But if it comes from your heart, God will hear you. So you could repeat this prayer after me. For those that's here, that's been prompted by the Holy Spirit, feel a tug in your heart, you can pray. For those online, you could do the same thing right there in your own home or wherever you are watching this. You can repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I realize how much you love me. I do believe that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on a cross, bearing the penalty of my sin. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to me my lost, sinful condition. I am a sinner, lost in sin, and need the Savior. I do now place my faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord to give me eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.